Greetings, brethren. As always, it's good to be gathered once again with those of like precious faith. We're here to buy and sell of this inexhaustible treasury. God had purposed a divine objective. That objective was of such enormity, it would require the entirety of the Godhead to accomplish it. God wanted to have a people for himself, a people that would be righteous, and a people able to stand before him in that righteousness, a people he could fellowship with and know and be known of them. Amen. God wanted to be their God and for them to be his people. When sin entered in, God would show man of better things. And that better thing was Christ. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew aforetime that a man was not worthy to be in his presence in their present condition. He was well acquainted with his adversary, and he knew the adversary would blind the hearts and minds of men and would be, by every means possible, attempt to destroy all that God purposed to do. So how could God accomplish such a monumental task and maintain his holiness, righteousness, and still remain just? God looked for a man among them to stand in the gap. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor, no one to intervene on behalf of truth and right. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory, and his own righteousness, having the Spirit without measure, sustained him. We understand here, God is not inadequate in anything he has purposed. But these things are recorded to reveal man's total inability to save himself. It cannot be done apart from the glorified Christ. Amen. It has been my observation in Scripture that when God purposed something, nothing and no one can stay his hand. Amen. Not even Satan himself. Amen. God first tells you of his purpose, what he expects from that purpose, and provides the means in which to accomplish it. But it doesn't stop there. He encourages you by ways of promises and incentives that you will make a greater effort to be successful and stays with you until it is finished. I want to note here, you putting forth greater effort in the things dealing with God is something you cannot do of yourself. Amen. It requires that you believe in the power of God and put your trust in God and his Christ. In Jesus' case, God prepared him a body without sin or the inclination to sin, a body equipped, speaking as a man, with all of his Father's attributes, a physical body to embody the Spirit of God himself. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Amen. For in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. This application of God's glory was to exercise and display the excellence of the subject. His glory is the manifestation of his divine nature and holiness. Christ is the visible, brilliant radiance of himself. Christ was God incarnate. God's glory is the correlation of his holiness. In other words, his glory and his holiness are so intricately woven, one complements the other. His glory is that in which holiness comes to expression. In respect to man, he has no glory of his own, nor can he produce it of himself. However, just as God prepared Christ a physical body to embody his spirit, God has made in us a new creature, a creature that is undefiled, with the capacity of having God's Holy Spirit indwell us. And it's the glory and power of that same Spirit that allows us to outwardly express holiness by way of our conversation, understanding, wisdom, and the knowledge that we are given by God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is difficult for the natural man to comprehend that. Because of this miraculous change, he is able to manifest such lofty things that once he never knew. So what is the effect on man because of the glorified Christ? Christ has taken away the sin of the world. Christ is God's provision for mankind to be forgiven. Christ died that we might live. Christ tasted death for every man. Christ was crucified, his body broken, his blood shed. Christ has paid the debt that was ours.
Amen.
Christ rose from the dead. Christ sanctified us. Christ redeemed us. Christ justified us. Christ reconciled us. Christ has enabled men to know God.
Amen.
Not to know of him, to know him intimately.
Amen.
Christ's glorification has enabled men to become new creatures. Christ has enabled men to approach God and his throne and live. We are accepted in the beloved. Christ's glorification has given us eternal life. Christ has given us understanding. Christ has given us the Holy Spirit, his peace and comfort. Christ has enabled us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The effect of his glorification will save Israel. We await with great anticipation the revealing of the things the Apostle John was told not to write. Christ's appointed role is to bring us to God. What is the effect in the realms of glory of the glorified Christ? Christ has opened up the way in which man may come to the God who that created him. Christ stands in the gap. Christ is the mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Christ has rent the veil from top to bottom. Christ is the forerunner. Christ has been exalted and enthroned to bring many sons to glory. In the effectual efforts of the glorified Christ, God will have a people for himself.
Amen.
That love him and his son.
Amen.
Christ appears in glory as the Lamb slain. Christ now sits at the right hand of God, the Father, making intercession for us. Christ's blood pleads for us. Christ is now ruling and reigning. Christ is elevated above all principalities and powers, both in heaven and in earth, save the Father himself. Christ glorified his Father. Christ accomplished the great work his Father gave him to do.
Amen.
The glorified Christ proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that God, by his own hand, brought salvation to mankind in the midst of the adversary's domain and did it without loss to his own integrity, his holiness, his justice, or righteousness. Christ glorified his Father among the men of earth and still glorifies him now because men are still believing the record that God gave of his Son. Men are still being transformed by the renewing of their minds. The Holy Scriptures are the record of the effectual nature of God's glorified Christ.
Amen.
And the gospel, the good news, the New Testament eulogizes Christ's glorification, and rightly so. Both Christ and God confidently wait with great expectation till all things be fulfilled, and the people, those who believe and trust in God and his Christ, are glorifying Christ while here in the earth, as we live accordingly. Jesus said, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." Christ's accomplished work and the voice of God, accompanied by the power of the Holy Ghost, was thus made effectual to the conversion of sinners. The effect is still proclaiming, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Christ's glorification has brought us the Godhead. We are complete in him.
Amen.
Having come to fullness of life in Christ, we are indwelt with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And in time and by measure, we will reach the spiritual stature that God has foreordained, where we are placed in the body and ultimately in his kingdom. The effects of Christ's glorification are far-reaching. They are vast in length, in height, in depth, and breadth. There is nothing, I repeat, there is nothing in heaven or in earth that has not been eternally affected by Christ's glorification. I have given you but a taste of the things that God, Christ's glorification has affected. In the next few days, the saints, both the brothers and sisters, are going to open up many more aspects of Christ's glorification. So take full advantage of these wonderful gifts that have been given you by God through the effectual working of the glorified Christ in these holy saints. Let your hearts rejoice in the fact that in ages to come, this will be opened up to us in its fullness. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. I exhort you to keep Christ's selfless act in your remembrance.
Amen.
Rehearse it over and over again.
Amen.
Because Christ is your life.
Amen.
And your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.